Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you hear? Sweet Tooth got paroled today.
Yeah, I thought that clown was in for life. Sweet Tooth got out today.
He's probably living the high life.
Circuses? Birthday parties?
No, actually, he's driving an ice cream truck.
Get out of town.
Sweet Tooth is back in Twisted Metal 3 with enough weapons to make any angry driver happy.
You go, Sweet Tooth.
PlayStation.
Yeah,
you went with Twisted Metal 3 ad. Out of all the ones to choose from,
it was the only good ad of all of the ads.
Really?
Yeah. They're all bad. For real though, that all of the commercials for Twisted Metal, this was the only one that like was good.
That's
the rest are
fantastic.
Bad.
I love it. That's because it needed the most marketing, right?
Yeah. Even though it was the worst of the series, it's a terrible game. It's not good. Hi, everybody. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Scott Johnson, and I have more homing missiles trained on you than you will ever know how to deal with. Not only that, I'm a man strapped to a pair of giant wheels, and there's no coming back from something like that. Needles cane for life!
Needles cane for life, baby! And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I think this clown is trying to sell me some frozen treats from his demonic heavy metal blaring maniac terror laughing ice cream truck. But I ain't so much into ice cream ever since my dad replaced my arms with giant tires that made me look like some kind of humanoid Gobot. I mean, how would I even consume an icy cone sweet? Put it on the road and let me lick it as I zoom by? Tastes like bloody soaked hot pavement and tears. I am Calypso, and I thank you for playing Twisted Metal.
Oh, Calypso.
Welcome to Twisted Metal.
That's the guy.
Oh, Calypso.
Hello.
And I thank you for playing Twisted Metal, you morons.
The best commercial and the best cutscene, although the worst but best cutscene, are in 3, but 3 sucks.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're going to talk about why 3 sucks, why 1 is great, why 2 is amazing, and why 4 is okay.
4 is okay.
And then there's this weird small brawl thing that I never played until this week.
Never even knew existed until
I didn't either, dude.
Myself.
That was like, news to me. Never even saw a commercial for it. Never heard about it. Never saw it in a store.
Nothing.
I think that thing probably didn't do well because they didn't market it at all.
No.
But we'll get to all of that in a minute. Before we do, a couple things this week. So I just wanted to recommend a roguelike that's a relatively new game, but I think retro players might enjoy it, especially if you have a Steam Deck and you're looking for something to just while away the time while you're out somewhere or traveling or something this summer.
While away the hours.
That's right. The game is called Patch Quest, and it's very good. Very, very, very good.
I think I played this game last week with my Windows. I don't like that idea.
You might have. It's not that kind of patch. It is really, really fun and has a really great loop and makes you do a lot of crazy things. And most of it feels like, even though it's a modern game, it has a retro feeling. Not even the graphics aren't even retro. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It feels
not really low poly. They're simple graphics, but I like how they're looking here.
Yeah.
I like this.
It's awesome. It's a rad game.
Very colorful.
I highly recommend it. It's very, very fun. And I think it's only like $12 or maybe 15.
This is a good idea because this is a very, very nice game to get that Twisted Metal bitter taste out of. Because Twisted Metal is awesome, but it kind of leaves you a little bit jaded.
Yeah.
And this looks very happy and a very good palate cleanser, if you will.
Yeah, super fun. Now you can adjust the difficulty on it, but by default the game's actually pretty hard, so that's one thing I would warn people about. There are fights in the game that remind me of sort of bullet hell shooters, but not in an annoying way for me anyway. I just found myself enamored, and I think this is a good one. I'll probably go a little deeper on Core, just because we do a big thing about games we played that week.
What is Core? What is that?
That's a video game show where we talk about modern games and news. Yeah, you might be familiar. You know what? Games after 30 years ago, Brian, they kept on making them. They kept going and changing and growing and stuff.
Bullshit. I'm not believing it.
You know, look at you. I'm looking at you right now, and you got 1080 Avalanche running on a screen. What's the other one doing?
I'm 90s for life, baby. I'm running my Sega Genesis back there. Those zombies, they ate my neighbors on my Model 2 Sega Genesis. Then we got a Wii running some GameCube emulation, even though, just because I haven't put my GameCube up yet, running some 1080 the Avalanche, where you do a little snowboarding.
Yeah, baby.
It's then, the 90s. Yep, suck it, Johnson.
You got an Outrun marquee back there from an Outrun arcade game? Yeah,
got the Outrun. I worked on my office a little bit, so it's still got a long way to go. I still got a big, giant mess, but I'm starting to get there.
You know what I want to do? This is what I want to do. Brian Abbott kind of does this. I want to go crazy with it. I want my entire background to look like an old 80s arcade. And I don't just mean to be like machines there. That'd be nice. But what I mean is just like the marquees, some neon lighting, some like, you know, stuff that's like distinctly from the era.
What's stopping you?
I don't know. What is stopping me? Nothing.
That's the great thing about getting to being into retro stuff. If you're into retro stuff, you're probably old enough to have a little disposable income and a lot of time. And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Empty. If you're a parent and you haven't experienced it yet, empty nest syndrome is real.
Yeah.
My kids left me not that long ago. I still have a 15-year-old in the house, but she don't have nothing to do with me.
You're just a pud to her,
Forget it. I'm just a pud. No, I'm just kidding. She loves me.
Yeah.
But it's like I went from having three kids and I'm like constantly, shuttling here or there. They've got wives. They're married now, and it's like now it's me. It's just me, and I'm like, what am I going to do with my time? Well, obviously this.
My problem is I fill it with too much work stuff. I need to figure out more ways to let. You know, let more projects go and instead build out some kind of rad, you know, dedication to my younger years.
I will watch that stream, and I love the idea.
Okay.
I love the idea.
I'll do it all live.
I actually got called out on Twitter this past week.
For what?
By a couple of people, because I said, I give a poll, and I said, I missed the 70s, I missed the 80s, I missed the 90s, I missed the 2000s. And some people were like, nostalgia is a disease. You know who you are. But, you know.
Yeah.
But I was like, I get it. Yeah, it is. It's not a good idea. Just to live.
Think it's a disease. I think it's.
No.
I think holding on to the stuff that you love and that made you happy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think retro gamers are a little bit different, because I think what they're thinking of nostalgia is the kind of bullshit that, you know, that causes problems, where people goes, well, that's not the, you know, we back used to do it day. Like this.
Yeah.
And it's like and they're dreaming and not, you know, they're not really progressing any. But, you know, retro gamers. We think of it differently. We think of nostalgia is recreating the situations. So we don't just sit around and longingly go, oh, I remember the time when. We actually go out and, you know, emulate it and re-experience the thing. So I don't know if it's necessarily, if you would just call it nostalgia, it's like a revisiting of things that maybe we didn't get to experience. That's what I do a lot of. It's like, I didn't get to do that back in the day.
Yeah,
like,
I'm with you. Totally agree.
Avalanche 1080, I only played for half a second, never really played it that far. I've actually gotten really good at it. Zombies Ate My Neighbors, never played it, period, until we started doing the Play Retro show. So all kinds of new experiences that are just from different eras.
Yeah, of course. That's how you have to look at it.
Yeah.
I think it's great. What else you been up to? You've been 3D printing a bunch of crap, I know. How's that going?
So, like I said, we're working on the studio, so I've been 3D printing a bunch of stuff. Found this great 3D developer. This guy is developing all kinds of sweet-ass stands and stuff for consoles and controllers and things. And I printed out controller stands for every one of my Sega things so far, Dreamcast, my Model 2, Sega Genesis, and my Sega Saturn. I'm holding that up now. And as you can tell, it's kind of simple, but it's branded with the big old Sega Saturn, just printed in black filament on the FDM printer. And the good thing about this is I printed stands before, and lots of them are just skids. And a skid is just where you kind of just place it on there, and then it ends up sliding around and doing all kinds of bullshit. And it really made me mad. So this actually has little holes that match up with the little holes in the bottom of the console, and you can plug it right in there. And this thing is stable as all get out. and I love it. And it's making my experience of displaying my hardware much better. Not to mention also, this guy was really smart.
Yeah.
Some of the skids I was doing with the 3D prints would make my, would put it like maybe like a 35 degree angle on the console. So you get a good look at the top part of the console. However, it wouldn't be raised up any. So the controllers would always like make it go off kilter because the controllers are just, the plugs are long and it just messes everything up. So this person who did these 3D prints, and I'll post a link to this guy's
post
work.
That one up. That looks awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, he's got a nice, the Dreamcast ones I have back there. It's got the nice Dreamcast swirl on the bottom, even though you don't see it, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
And the same for the Sega Genesis one has a really cool Sega Genesis written on the bottom of it.
That's cool.
It's way cool.
Yeah.
Now, this was a different designer, but I really like this one, too. So there's a lot of actually great developers out there. This is for the PlayStation 2. I use some silver filament, and it's just a controller. It's like you said, it's got little booby holes there, so you can put the dual shock right down in there.
Movers, yep.
Yeah.
So hold on a second. Is that and your controller is silver also, which was a special version of that console, or maybe just controller? I don't remember how we used to get silver PS2 controllers.
Yeah, you would. Silver was, if you can tell by the CRTs that back here, silver was a very popular alternative during the 90s.
Yeah.
We went from wood grain, black, that kind of thing to this silver stuff. And so this is actually a satin silver, I believe is what it is, a PS2 satin silver. And it's got this, it's really satiny looking. It's just, I love it. It's so sexy. It's so different than all the boring black, systems we have now. Everybody's trying to get as small a frame around their TV as possible. And so there's no, there's nothing there except for screen.
Yeah.
This is a different era.
And even if they do put bezel, it's always like you said, black and thin, boring.
Yeah, black and thin, boring.
Yeah.
Put some LED lights behind it. I get it, but I just,
I love when you say put some LED lights. It sounds like you said put some smelly D back there.
Put some smelly D's back there. Put some.
That was my
smell-o-vision.
That was my rapper name for a long time. Was Smelly D.
Smelly D.
Yeah, you don't want to know where it came from.
Yeah, my hoopty was riding down.
You don't want to know the origin story. Trust me.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to know that. But I do want to give a shout out to Gary and Danny, who did give me that PlayStation 2 a while back.
Nice.
They were around town and they stopped by, gave me that, and then they gave me this. This is a PlayStation 2, and that says Twisted Metal Black on it, right?
Yeah, he's holding up a PlayStation disc. It's a disc case.
Yes, and the disc case.
It says Twisted Metal Black on it.
It's got Sweet Tooth, a.k.a. Needles Kane, on the front of it.
Yep.
And it obviously says black on it, and I was so excited. And come to find out, Head On is in there.
Oh, but, which is great. The PSP game, right?
Yeah, it is a PSP game.
Yeah,
but it was also a PS2 game, and so the wrong disc was in it. I don't know if he knew that or if he told me, and I didn't hear him or what. But yeah, so but that was good bad news because I wanted to play Black, still never played Black, but now I have Head On, which has the cut videos, the full motion videos from the original Twisted Metal that got yanked. So I'm going to get a chance to look at those and, kind of react to them a little bit for
and then you're going to make video of that, and we're going to put that up on the Patreon, and only patrons are going to see it. That's how that's going to go. Well, unless I have not watched
any of these videos from the first one. I read a few of them because that's how they did them on the Twisted Metal one. You do had to read them, not watch them.
Right.
But I can't wait because when I watched all the end scenes on 2 and I was dying. It was killing me. Loved it.
They're so all
I can't
wait to see real some stupid video. For sure. I want to a shout out to that PSP game. I didn't realize they made a PlayStation 2 version of the game. That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah,
but
at
the time, I thought that was so good. I bought that day one, played that on my PSP till my fingers hurt.
I consider the PSP to kind of be like a PlayStation 1.5.
In a lot of ways, it
hardware.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it really was kind of a half step. I mean, they got rid of all the jitter and that smaller screen gave you the feeling anyway that you were playing a much more advanced console. But I missed it. The PSP was great with two exceptions. Terrible little memory stick plan. Awful.
I remember immediately. I was like, Sony.
Yeah, that was bad. Sony. And then those UMDs, for all the fun you can have with going, UMDs are cool now in a retro kind of way. At the time, they sucked. They were terrible.
Yeah, they sucked. The quality wasn't great. The load times was wonky. It was a weird format. You know, where do you put these stupid things at? I'm with you. But it was kind of one of those things. It was definitely a technology that we all looked at and said, yeah, this is not the future. No. I mean, we immediately picked up the UMDs. And went,
even when the Vita came out, I was like, yeah, these memory sticks you're making me buy, this isn't the future either. We're doing SDs, no. And these are costing, what, 50 times more than an SD does? What are we even doing?
Yeah.
Like, what is this world?
It was Sony's way of pulling a Nintendo, where it was like, well, we still want to make money on the hardware, so we've locked you into our own brand of memory card, aka NES's cartridge things they used to do.
It was a mistake.
Nobody wants that. Though. Nobody's buying that.
Ain't nobody wants that, Brian. Ain't nobody got time for that, is
Ain't
what I
nobody
say.
Got no time for that.
If Sony ever does another handheld, I hope they don't try to pull that again. That was stupid.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll ever do another one? There's rumor they're working on one, but the rumor is that it's a streaming only device, so it's to be used in conjunction with a PlayStation 5. I mean, there are a few of those floating around. There's a new one from Logitech. I forgot the name of it. The G something, whatever it is. And it's they're very good. They're always really good. Or that one is really good at what it says it needs to do, which is stream Game Pass, stream GeForce Now, all those kinds of services. And it's really good at that. And I think it has PlayStation Now as well, or PlayStation Remote or Remote Play, whatever it's called. The rumor is Sony's working on one. It even has a code name, but that the plan is that it will be a lower priced remote play thing and not a full blown console, which I think is a huge mistake. If they really want to go in there and compete again, do it. But then again, you and I have talked about this. The Vita did what, as much as the Game Gear did?
Yeah.
Those aren't numbers they're willing to accept. No. So I don't know why they'd be in the market for anything.
No, there's just I don't think they ever had enough success. Look, Sony's pretty conservative as a company. They don't do crazy shit like Nintendo.
Yeah, well, I'd say they're a little crazy with VR because the price of that thing is.
Yeah, but they kind of eased their way into that, didn't they?
I mean, the new one just launched and tanked, so there's like concern that thing is a wash. Like, they're not making anything on PSVR 2. PS5 is selling fine, no issues there. Great games, all that stuff. But I think they were wrong when they expected. Now that we're out of the main part of the pandemic, I think they still thought people were like, well, I just spent $600 on this brand new console. Maybe I'll spend another $600 on a headset to go with it.
They kind of, like I said, they kind of ease us into the VR, because if you had the original PlayStation VR they had, if you already had the camera, hey, that's already part of the tech. If you already had the moves, nobody had the move sticks, but if you already had them, you know, not go ahead and add the headset? Them,
No, you're not wrong, but this one's nothing like that. In fact, it's not even backwards compatible.
Full on, yeah.
Yeah, there's no backwards compatibility. None of the games that you bought for the original one work. Some of them have upgrade paths where you pay money. It's all a bit of a cluster, if I'm honest.
If it wasn't, if they had the library for it, I might would. But even then, it's still a cable issue for me. I still like the Quest 2, because even though I can get a subpar experience as far as graphics go, the fun of being untethered outweighs it. It's kind of like that Nintendo thing.
I would argue the graphics, having it be a self-contained unit with no tethering, they're good enough. They look great. Like, it's legitimately a good device. Enough. I don't even like Meta, but I like the Quest a lot.
Yeah.
And they needed something that didn't have a big cable hanging off of it.
Yeah, it's the cable. The cable is absolutely what's holding back VR.
Yeah.
I mean, people will accept putting a big old freaking thing on their head, but the hell if they're going to get, drag a cable around.
Yeah, or yank it out by accident or tangle it up with the dog or whatever the problems you have are. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, more on that soon. Instead, though, today we are going to dig deep into our main topic, all about Twisted Metal.
Shall we play a game?
Twisted Metal, if you're not familiar with it, was basically a demolition derby game that put most of its emphasis on using projectiles. There was a built-in machine gun everybody had, although the machine gun you had to get ammo for, so don't waste it. You had guns, mines, napalm strikes, homing missiles, health. You could pick up health, of course. It was the first real car combat game. at least the first that took on, you know, a big popularity. There may have been some game on PC that people are like, no, hold on a minute. Don't forget about Route 22, a game made by one dude on a floppy. Like, I understand there might have been something. But this was like, you know, next level. And in the 8 and 16-bit era, we had games where cars, you know, usually they were top-down and they would shoot each other. We just talked about a few of those. Those existed. But this was like the first fully 3D, very ugly, mind you, for the era.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Fully realized battle arena, right? Fully realized.
Yeah, but if you played, you put that disc in for Twisted Metal 1, you would hear this. Yeah. And then you have this weird 90s metal. Oh, it's the clown. You got that?
Kane.
Yeah. Kane, yeah. And then you go racing. Listen. He's picking up stuff. That sound is him picking up stuff. Oh, this, just hearing that reminds me how many freaking hours I spent on the couch with my friend Andrew playing Twisted Metal 1 and 2 until our eyes wouldn't open. Like, it was
couch
just like
co-op. Did you play the split screen co-op? Is what you did?
There was no co-op, I don't think. It was all head-to-head.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to say co-op. You're right.
Yeah, apologies. I think it was all head-to-head. Split screen. But yeah, split screen, head-to-head. You could have... Could you have a multi-tap and up to four players, maybe? Maybe even five with the multi-tap? I forget.
I think it was just split screen one time. I could be wrong on
You might be right. It may have been the two, or maybe been two or three where they added that feature or something.
I meant to set up. I was going to try to set up Parsec. I just ran out of time this week, but I was going to set up Parsec to see how the multiplayer was, and I did not get to that part. For some reason, my brain tells me that it was just, you know, two-player on the couch with a split screen. I could be wrong with that.
Yeah, for the first one anyway. I think you're absolutely right. Split screen, well, definitely split screen. That was the way you did it back then. But it featured you racing around in these, like, you know, Mad Max-ass looking cars in these cities. I'm showing video right now.
L.A., baby.
Yeah, it was supposed to be L.A. And I remember the time going, graphics are never going to look this cool again. Can you believe it? I look at them now and I just want to vomit. They're so bad. But at the time, this was pretty groundbreaking, I thought.
And it was amazing. We're coming from 2D platformers and you've probably seen something that looked maybe almost this good on a PC, but nothing in the console. Had ever seen anything quite this yummy.
Yeah, and everyone loves this concept of, you know, cars with weapons.
Yeah.
It's an old idea from movies. You've ever seen any of the Death Races, you know what you're talking about here. It's obviously inspired by those things. And this game was just high-octane, ridiculous laughter time for me and my buddy Andrew for hours and hours and hours. We'd spend a Friday night, like the whole night, 4 a.m. would come around. And we'd be like, holy shit, are we still playing Twisted Metal split screen?
Now we still play in this game. So were you, who was the best at Twisted?
Oh, I rocked his world usually, but I had to be the cop. Wait, not the cop. Sorry. The, who's the pink car?
So a Thumper, that would be like the Cadillac Thumper. Yeah.
Yeah. The pink Cadillac was my go-to for a long time. Right. I liked them all. I liked him and the cop, but I think the cop was in two and not one, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, I think the cop was in all of them. The story behind the cop is that he's a cop and he's trying to stop the Twisted Metal competitions. This game is David Jaffe has said many times, co-creator of Twisted Metal. This game was essentially a fighter, but with vehicles. Yeah. So they were heavily inspired by gaming themes and concepts from stuff like specifically Mortal Kombat, where you have all these, you know, these different characters with different stats that, you know, based on who you have and the special moves and the pickups you pick up and everything, determine, you know, your gameplay.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen anything quite like Twisted Metal. I saw it, and it did really, to me, it felt like playing, like, you know, Doom or something, but with vehicles.
Yeah, it was car-based shooter is what it was, and it was third person, obviously, but it was like I was like nothing else. And I tried, every time somebody tried to do a copycat, like a, I can't even think of the names of them now, but there were two or three games that were like, oh, it's like Twisted Metal, but with a twist or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tried them all. I played them all because I didn't care. I just loved the concept so much. I was like, I'm just going to buy that. I'll play that. Okay, that was fun too. Let's play another one. Let's just keep getting these. until you 3
were chasing,
came out.
You were chasing that high, right? Nothing combined. This is our 90s minds. We have metal music, just this hardcore metal music, dirty, grungy themes. This crazy idea that Calypso, this, you know, all powerful being who has started up a battle and brought in, you know, people looking to have their wishes granted, and you're almost certainly going to die. The characters are probably going to die. So yeah, there's a little bit of storytelling going on.
Yeah. The lore is pretty thin. It's basically a B movie. Yeah. It's nothing fancy or anything to worry
it's
about.
Mortal Kombat.
Which is funny because we're about to get a TV adaptation of Twisted Metal on the Peacock Network. Yeah. And there's trailers out. Anthony Mackie's in it. It looks like it could be fun.
They've had time to flesh out.
Yeah.
They've fleshed out the story some as they went along through the series. They've you know, went deeper into these very shallow characters, but that's all you really need. You just need basic motivations in video games, right?
Yep.
And so they have very basic motivations. And here's a twist: Calypso is a djinn, right? He's a genie.
Yeah.
Somewhat. He's sort of. If you win Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
Then you get your one wish granted, and he's gonna switch it on you. He's a djinn. You're gonna have the wish you have, and he's gonna find a way to ironically make that the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah, for sure. And when we get to 3, which is a travesty in terms of gameplay, 3 has some really amazing stuff in it, like a fully rendered intro featuring Calypso. And him talking, like vamping on screen.
You say good, I say good God.
Oh, it's horrible. Don't get me wrong. It's absolute, utter garbage, but
right.
It's my kind of garbage. It's,
like you said, it's fully pre-rendered stuff of Calypso, and he looks totally different than he did in the first 2 games.
Yeah.
But it feels kind of like that era of animation like you would have seen in Reboot, but a little bit, darker,
bit worse.
You know, we were not at a place. 3D has come so far. There was basically almost zero texture mapping during this time. So everything was this shiny, smooth balloon animal looking stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It was a weird.
Speaking
time.
Of like that was also true in 2. 2 had a lot of sparseness to it, which was a little bit off putting because I thought at least 1 they attempted to make a lot of arenas seem like they were full of objects and junk and dirty textures, but textures nonetheless. 2 really pulled back from that to create larger arenas, bigger battles.
And world tour.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a trade-off. This is what that game sounded like at the beginning. And more him talking. Big uptick in the sound department, I thought.
Yeah, more metal.
More metal. More 90s ass, you know, grunge business going on. And the video I'm watching right now is Thunder. What's his name? Sorry, the pink flamingo
Thumper.
Guy.
Thumper. Yeah, you're still Thumper. Yeah, you're Thumper.
Big fan of Thumper. So I went and found some gameplay of Thumper Plan. It's a little more, like I said, open. So you've got a lot more space to move around in. This may be, unless my memory sucks, and it very well could, I think maybe this supported the multi-tap. And if it did, I think
you're right. I think this would have been the first multi-tap because the first game, they put the multiplayer, just like a lot of these games in that era, they put that, like, one programmer at the very end would go, because everybody asked at this time, because multiplayer was so exciting and new. It was like, oh, can you have multiplayer? And it's like, we'll get Fred over there, you know, to see if he can squeeze it in.
Yeah.
And but this was out of the box. They were kind of fulfilling. They had success with the first one. And they were kind of fulfilling the things that they wanted to accomplish in the first one. So I think you're right. I think this is the multi-tap.
Oh, yeah, to this tractor guy. I forgot about him. So, yeah, there's...
Oh, I didn't.
My memory was 4-player split screen, you know, quadrants in the screen. And that's probably another reason why to make it a little sparser, because then the machine can handle splitting it into 4 like that. But you could also add bots to your matches. And that made a huge difference because then it just felt like it was more full and they were kind of fodder, but it didn't matter. We were happy to do it. And 2 really is where I hit crescendo moment.
Played, I think a lot of us did.
Played 2 till, you know, again, just all night, pissing our wives off because we were very young married couples at this point. No kids or anything, I don't think.
You in there with your heavy metal and your cars and you're blowing up shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one was. Yeah.
I love it. Just imagine like 20, very young 20s Scott just losing his mind on the regular.
Would you grow up already?
Yeah. What are you guys doing? Playing Twisted Metal? Great. I'll do the dishes then, I guess. That sort of thing.
And it's appropriate because the whole concept of Twisted Metal came from a very young group of guys, specifically David Jaffe and Scott Campbell. They had just returned from a scouting expedition to kind of find some developers they could work with. And they were stuck in L.A. traffic. And they thought, hey, wouldn't it be great if we could just blast our way out of here like a big action movie? And so that's kind of where Twisted Metal got us started. So, of course, it appeals to our young minds and brains, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, blow some stuff up.
And that dude, David Jaffe.
Yeah.
Still working in the industry. That guy went from...
He's huge.
Twisted... Well, he did some other stuff, but Twisted Metal was his big, big, real huge break.
Yeah.
And doing that with Sony and everything. And then he is responsible for the God of War series, which started on the PlayStation 2. And so, when you're playing God of War, the 2018 game, or the more recent 2022 or 21, whatever it was, last year, I guess.
Yeah, the one.
When you're playing those games, you got David Jaffe to thank for at least coming up with that stuff. He's not been involved in that project in a very long time, but...
And he's matured, and so is his content. If you watch interviews with him through the years... It's funny to go back and watch him at the first release, Twisted Metal, and he's all like, hey, blah, 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 blah. He's such a punk. Yeah. And you're like, oh, how does anybody work with you? And you find out he was very difficult to work with when he was young. But then he matured, like we hopefully all do. And he started making games that were a little bit deeper and a little bit better. So
check out this list of works.
He's got
Cliffhanger on the NES, Super NES, and Genesis.
Now that was really early on. That's that game that we talked about, that bad NES games.
Yeah. Frickin' thing. Skyblazer.
Did he do that, or was that one that he was a playtester on? Because he worked at Sony as a playtester.
He was a tester on that. And that would have been Sega, Sony. No, Sony. That was Super Nintendo, Sega, Genesis, and Mega Drive, and then Sega CD version of that game as well. He was also a tester on Skyblazer for the Super NES. And then when he got into it, he was his first designing job was Mickey Mania for the Super NES.
Which is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good game. Then came Twisted Metal the very next year. And from then
on... That was his last chance with Sony, too, I believe. I think they were... every interaction he'd had been bad. He was a smart guy. He's still a smart guy. Is it Twitch or YouTube? He's got a stream. I caught a couple of them. He was really down on how American games, the quality of them compared to the stuff that was coming out of Japan.
Because
the first thing he was doing was quality assurance. Yeah. So he was getting to see all this stuff. And he's like, why is ours so much? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he put the work in.
Because that Alabama boy comes out of Alabama and just says, yo, I'm going to kick your ass with my cool Southern game knowledge. And he did.
Right. About to show y'all some right now, or watching on screen. Thumper is just going to town with his flame. So you got pickups here.
Yeah.
This one leaned even more heavily into the combat part. Including now you can do special moves, combos, and you can freeze people and flame people. And it really did change how this game was played, as well as I didn't notice this until I went back and played one earlier today. The health pickups in Twisted Metal 1 are like little flashing pads.
Yeah.
But this one is health pickups.
Yeah, straight up.
You drive over them.
Yeah, like a big red cross box in the air.
Yeah, like you would expect. Mm-hmm. So they took the test bed that was the original Twisted Metal, and they just refined it, and this is just perfection.
Yeah, I think 2 is really where it's shown the most, until well after this
generation. Favorite character from 2 first? Is it going to be my favorite character? Somebody asked me the other day, and I just couldn't talk myself out of not being a huge Axel fan, which is the guy with the two giant wheels for arms.
Yeah, Axel's ridiculous. Why wouldn't you love him? He's great.
He's so much easier to control, at least he was for me, than all the rest of the guys.
Yeah, he's awesome. Axel's great. He's also ridiculous, and I can't believe he exists.
He's literally an Axel.
Yeah. Sweet Tooth's cool. He's kind of the mascot of the game, so you kind of felt like you had to try.
Oh, but
stuff.
He's driving a big old ice cream truck. Clown driving an ice cream truck, and that just is difficult to handle. The handling is not good. Armor's pretty good. Attack is pretty good. But yeah, did you dig deep into the stats when you were playing this?
No, I didn't care about min maxing. I just went with what I thought was cool.
Yeah,
because the motorcycle guy had his cool skull attack, which was very powerful, but it was also not homing, and it had to be straight, and you had to hit him. He had to be a really good shot with that guy, and his hit points sucked.
Yeah, he was on a motorcycle. Right, exactly. Even though Axel is kind of on a motorcycle, those wheels are pretty big. They're as tall as a human.
Yeah, he held together better than the motorcycle guy. Just a freaking, he's made out of paper. Don't even try it with that guy.
And in two, they did, like you said earlier, they expanded the environment, because we went from just fighting in small arenas in LA to doing a world tour, which is what it's actually called, like Twisted Metal 2 World Tour. And you get to go and you start finding destructible objects. Specifically, you get to destroy the Eiffel Tower. I did not get to do it, but if your players are all attacking the tower, you can bring it down, it opens up new areas of play.
Yep, we knew all those weird secrets. We were like hardcore on that. And I think the first time we saw it was accidental taking down of the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
And we went, what? And then it opened up a path, and we're like, are you freaking kidding me? And then we were trying to find them all. And there weren't that many more in the game, but there were more.
Yeah.
That you could get.
There were several other locations, because they started adding them, because this is rumor and that I had read, heard, only saw one source for this. So it sounds like rumor to me. Could be true, though. That they showed, they had finished that level, the Eiffel Tower level first.
Yeah.
And they had showed it to a French reporter, and he was like, oh, wee wee poo poo. Not exactly like that, but still, he was mad that they would do that to the Eiffel Tower. And so they just leaned really heavily into it. But you got to remember, this is the early Jaffe, and he would hyperbole. Yeah, he didn't mind.
He was a scrappy guy. Yeah. He was happy to argue and get mad and whatever. The dude's basically my age, and I love that he's still a little bit that way. I don't think he's done anything since. Let's see. Okay, here. So Twisted Metal Black was his big. That was Twisted Metal Black for the PS2, which we're not going to talk about today other than mentioning it because it's not retro enough. But Black is the best that series ever got. Brian hasn't played it yet. Mm-hmm. You need to. It's amazing. It's so good. But then after that, Connecticut.
Yeah.
God of War, amazing. Two, God of War 2, amazing. Calling All Cars. Twisted Metal for the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, can't win them all, David.
Even Twisted Metal for the PS3, which I thought got canceled, but I guess it came out. It wasn't as good as Black. And then his last game was Drawn to Death in 2017, a game I owned.
Right.
And it was interesting, but it wasn't like his usual. So I think we're kind of done with David.
Well, you know, he's taking a break. That's fine. We talk about this on another podcast we call Film Stack, where we're constantly like going, why is this film actor not doing something, you know? And even Doja Cat recently came out and went, cash grab for my last albums. I'm out, bitches. So we have this desire as consumers to want our heroes and, you know, whatever they are, content creators to go on forever and create as much as they can. But sometimes, you know, maybe just taking a break. Would you like to hear what he said on Twitter?
Yeah. What's
about? So he had something to say, and this may be interesting, maybe not. But this is his frame of mind. Based on the new series that's coming out to Peacock about Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
Dave Jaffe says, if they want my feedback, thoughts, help, and or service, I'm at their beck and call. Because as y'all all know, I think the world of Twisted Metal is super rich, and I'd love to see more done with it besides straight up demo derby.
Yeah.
Although that is a ton of fun too.
Sure. They haven't talked to him though, right? They haven't reached out.
Yeah. No, no. So yeah, he's saying, no, I can tell you it's kind of like he's very excited about the news. I'm not sure, since he's like one of the co-creators, I'm not sure, you know, what kind of deal he had with Twisted Metal. We know that he sold some of the IP stuff back to Sony. So I don't know if he's still going to get any kind of credit for it, but he's still very excited about it. And so I was glad to see that he liked it, because that guy, is some creators, they, you know, they kind of leave their creations behind. You ever think about him much more, but he seems to always care about Twisted Metal.
Well, he probably cares about God of War's getting a series too. He probably cares about that, I would guess. I don't know.
He loves his creations.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yeah. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Let's move on to three, and I'm again, three is not a good game, but three has some amazing audio, and I'd like to play you a bit here, so enjoy.
I am Calypso. Each year I gather the 12 worthiest drivers to face off in the Twisted Metal competition. They must face each other and some of my friends to claim the ultimate prize. I grant a single wish, whatever the winner asks for. To the losers, death. Welcome to Twisted Metal.
So then, you know, you got your racing and your shoot.
This had the best voiceover work of any of them. I will give them that. That's all they're getting for me on Twisted Metal 3. You did like the pre-rendered scenes. I guess it was okay.
Look at these, dude. I'm playing it right now. Calypso is... weird looking dude, like, is the least weird thing I can say about this guy's face. As you mentioned before, he's kind of like a djinn or like a, you know, some kind of genie thing. I guess, I don't know, the lore
is
weird.
He's got the Ring of Power is the I believe how the lore goes. He's like an interdimensional being who can open up portals and, you know, destroy LA, basically grant any wish. He's made some kind of deal with Minion, which is also a demon or something from hell. There's all kinds of lore if you really want to get into it. I'm really interested to see how they're going to play that in the series.
Yeah, and again, keep in mind, so three, Jaffe's off the team.
Yeah, they got tired. We talk about this a lot on Play Retro. They had Twisted Metal, pretty big success.
Yeah,
and then Twisted Metal 2, they ran right into that. They had a turnaround in 16 months. The team was exhausted, and they weren't getting the compensation. Wasn't worth the fatigue and the wear on the families and stuff. And they just sold the IP back to Sony, and Sony used their internal studio 989 Studios to create Twisted Metal 3.
Yeah, and I will say this for 3's credit, it has the best graphics of the PlayStation 3 era stuff, or PlayStation 1 rather.
Yeah, I think it's a different game engine because they did not sell the game engine.
No,
the
they
tools.
Did not. And I think, again, like, it looks nice, but if you play it, it just feels wrong. It doesn't feel right at all.
Yeah, they used a game engine that was already established. It was like some kind of, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like some kind of off-road kind of car game. And it was this engine. And so it already had its particular types of physics. This Twisted Metal 2 was more arcadey, floaty. Even though I still kind of use those tank controls where you use the D-pad to push forward and turn right and back and everything. But this one I found infuriating to play because you can't turn on a dime. Yeah. And that's so important when you're talking about cars that are moving pretty quickly and you need to line up a shot straight out of the front of your car.
Oh, dude, it's a hallmark of Twisted Metal. You don't take out that turn. What is the what were they thinking? Oh my god!
I don't know. The physics, like I said, the physics were really hard. I found it really difficult to compete because by the time I would turn around to shoot somebody, they'd be gone.
Yeah,
and I was just like, bah.
You have to be able to turn on a dime. That was the hallmark. There's a reason that mechanic exists in the game.
Yeah,
and the fact that they took that out was a real misstep. It's
and
a bummer.
I don't know
if
they took it out as much as they just didn't change their game engine to reflect that need. Right? They just. Yeah. They just left it like it was.
Also, keep in mind, this is the third game in the year that this came out was, let's see, 1998.
These all came out in October. All four of them came out in October, and they're all set at Christmas because that's when you had the Twisted Metal.
Right, but this came out in 98. We are now getting toward where we're about to get new consoles.
Mature development tools for the PlayStation.
But I think people were bored. I think people, I mean, I had checked out by now. Like, 2 was so good, and then 3 was such a bummer. I just went, yeah, I'm good. I don't need any Twisted Metal for a while.
Although, every day that I streamed the Twisted Metal, people would come in and go, what's this? Like, Twisted Metal 3. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I never played that one.
Yeah.
I stopped at 2, and then I played Black. But a lot of people didn't play 3 and 4 that I was running into. But some people like 3 and 4, and it certainly has it's got its own things. One of the things it doesn't have is great comeuppance. Like, one of the great things about the first two was watching to see what Calypso, how he screwed over the winners. So if you win, you get your, you get your wish, which we all know is when you read the bios of the characters, it tells you what the wish is, essentially. In the first one, Sweet Tooth, Kane, he wanted his best friend back. The clown wanted his best friend back. Turns out it was a paper bag.
Sad. It was a paper bag. That's right.
It was a paper bag. But in I think in this one, he gets instead, what he gets is he wishes for all the sweets or something. And I'm like, okay, that's stupid. And so the Needles Kane ends up getting needles in his mouth from the dentist.
Really?
And I'm like, yeah, these endings. These endings are terrible. these are not good twist. Like you see a good episode of Twilight Zone, it's like, oh, that was good twist at the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no good twist at the end. These are all just straight up, if you want one thing, you get the opposite or a pun. I think one of the characters wants to be hang his head or something. I don't know. And ends up he takes his head and his head's hanging on a rearview mirror or something stupid. I mean, it's just all bad.
Yeah, it's not, they didn't add much to the lore, I don't think, by doing any of that.
And it was a real downgrade from 2 because it was all in those 3D pre-rendered things like you had showed earlier with Calypso, where they're all, like little rubbery looking weird stuff. In the second one, they did that whole 90s indie comic looking artwork. And man, when Axel does his finale and goes and he actually gets it good. Calypso actually lets him have it good. And he gets to confront his dad because his dad's the one who put him in that prison of the wheels. And oh my God. If you got to at least watch that one from Twisted Metal 2. That one is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. The black ones are really good too. Twisted Metal Black has a ton of great stuff. Cutscenes and junk. It's unfortunate that, I don't know, Jaffe did this thing again where he comes back. Black's a huge hit. God of War, massive. Huge. Makes Sony millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on just the God of War franchise.
Yeah.
And then they still got in an argument with him. It's still like, it's just, maybe he was just hard to work with. I don't know what the deal was, but
absolutely. I think everyone has agreed that he is, he described himself, in some of the interviews I had listened to, and there's some great interviews. There's actually like a 3-hour interview with him on YouTube that is just an amazing listen. He talks about being kind of the Kubrick of video games. And if you know anything about Kubrick, he would reshoot a scene 100 times.
See, that's weird, though, because you should be when you're called the Kubrick of video games, that should be other people calling you that. You should never call yourself that, because then that says to me is you think a little too highly of your auteur-ness,
But that was young Jaffe. I will say Jaffe has come a long way. He's matured. He's mellowed out a little bit.
Sure.
And he's always been talented. And so it's,
Yeah, we all do. We get older. We get better.
Yeah.
All good. Here is, speaking of Twisted Metal 4, Twisted Metal 4 added Rob Zombie to the mix.
Rob Zombie had some music in Twisted Metal 3. And apparently, he was, I'm assuming, part of the Sony Studios family. They threw him there, and then 4, you can freaking play as Rob Zombie. And you get to use the Dracula. I wouldn't say I was like a huge Rob Zombie fan, but of that era when the Rob Zombie came on, I was jamming out. I loved it, and huge surprise that he was in this
one. That album with the girl in the hammock, I don't know the name of it. Sweet, sexy,
Living Dead Girl. What was it?
No, it was Sexy Dead. I don't remember. Anyway,
it was always death. If you don't know who Rob Zombie is, he embraced the campiness of horror during the 90s.
Does someone not know who Rob Zombie is? That would blow my mind.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying, whenever I hear about Twisted Metal 4, very few people actually mention the Rob Zombie. And I've heard reviews of Twisted Metal 4 by younger people, and they don't even really mention Rob Zombie. And I'm like, that is like a huge selling point for me to get to play that, because this one took a departure. So the first three, 989 Studios played it a little too safe with three, and they just kind of continued what was already there, and it just kind of lacked a soul. And in four, it feels like they said, well, we got a lot of criticism for not injecting any of us into it. And so 989 Studios injects themselves into this one. And, you know, they don't have a lot of the same characters that come back. There's a few that come back, but a lot of them are new characters. And they take this whole slant with Rob Zombie, and they change the controls. You're no longer using those kind of those tank like controls. Instead, now you're accelerating with your X button, and mm-hmm. then you're steering with the stick instead of doing that other stuff, and double tapping for I think to you know, turbo and stuff. So they kind of found their own little groove here, and I think that's the reason why when I talk about these games, I've been going two absolutely far and above, head shoulders above all the rest of them, but then four.
And then
if I had to pick a second one to play, four would be my four's
all right. Here's a taste of four.
Yeah. Stories tell of a carnival that would travel from town to town. At its head was a man surrounded by mystery, who was known only as Calypso. One day, this carnival
sounds like almost like the Mark Hamill Joker a little bit.
Yes, we did get a little Mark Hamill sounding Joker. This one, Calypso, we go back to the 1900s, and apparently Sweet Tooth is, they get it confused a lot of times. The vehicle is supposed to be Sweet Tooth. Needles Kane is supposed to be the clown, but we end up interchanging those a lot, even in the real games and stuff.
Yeah.
In the real lore. But he is taken over. He is taken over Calypso's role.
Yeah. And he's the new guy.
He's already the face of Twisted Metal anyway. I mean, if you haven't seen any marketing, it's
even the new show, they got a huge thing at the end where it's just all about Sweet Tooth. I mean,
yeah,
that's
and when they did that big collaborative character thing they did for that Super Bowl commercial a couple of, however many years back it was, probably been a decade now.
They put
Needles Kane in there. So this just, you know,
that's who it is.
It is.
I think four is okay. Four is all right. I haven't played as much of it as I maybe should, but I think four was a return to somewhat what we like about the thing, and they added a bunch of environmental stuff that wasn't there before. It's an interesting game. I still say the best the game ever got was Black, but you know, that's out of the PlayStation.
I haven't played it yet, but I've that's been the general consensus. But on the PlayStation, I think this one, like I said, comes in second for me. Three is way down at the bottom. Yeah. One is there, but it's only, if you have never played any of these, one's a fun one to just kind of play just a few minutes of. I get the flavor.
I'll go 2-4-1 on PS1.
Yeah, 2-4-1. Yeah, you're just going to skip three completely.
Three, just forget three exists. Three's bad.
Just forget. It's not really necessary. Three is not necessary. You can go to YouTube and listen to the bio reads. And if you really want to, you know, if you want to watch the kill scenes, which are horrible, you could do that. But otherwise, just play four.
Yeah.
Four is basically the same, but with 989 Studios actually taking some ownership of it. They had some customizable cards you could do, which weren't that interesting. But, you know, it was just one more little piece of depth that made it their own instead of being, you know, just a port of Twisted Metal.
Now, it's worth mentioning that Twisted Metal Small Brawl happened in 2001. This was also a very late to the game PlayStation 1 game.
Yeah. I knew nothing about
this. Come on, Gober, jump. Whoa. What is it, Gober?
Help me.
You ever want to see your thirsty widow Froggy again?
Okay, so it's really...
That's Sid from Toy Story, it's
basically,
like, right?
It's basically Sid. Like, I swear that's what they were doing. Small Brawl is interesting because it got very little marketing money, and the concept was, hey, what if the Twisted Metal characters are a bunch of kids in, like, elementary school, and you're racing their cars, but you're doing it out in the... in the parking lot of the school, or you're doing it in the jungle gym or whatever, with little model cars, like RC cars. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a weird take because honestly, it's just Twisted Metal, but once in a while in the background, there's like a kid on a swing, or you might see somebody having lunch on a log or something. You're like, oh, right, I'm in a tiny car. But the effect is really the same. You're just yeah. fighting cars, right?
It really is. And I mean, this is because of Toy Story, right? I mean, Toy Story kind of pushed all of this, where we started playing like RC games again. And it's like, play little remote control car games, because it reminds us of, you know, when we were playing real RC cars when we were little kids and stuff. So I like the blending of the two things. And I thought it was an interesting little play.
Yeah, it's all right.
It wasn't bad.
It's all right. It's still just, you know, it's more Twisted Metal, just in a different kind of take. Well, I just want Sony to make something new. We did mention already Head On from 2005 for the PSP and PS2. That is an excellent game. If we include that in the list, I'd probably tie that one with 2, I guess.
Right.
I like that one a lot. And we could mention Rogue Trip Vacation 2012.
Yeah, that was the thing that Jaffe was doing, him and his team, after they left when they walked away from Twisted Metal. They still went and did another card game.
Yeah, it was a lot like it. Like,
yeah.
It basically, I don't know, I'm trying to think what it would be like. It'd be like if, I don't know, the Mortal Kombat guys left and made a Mortal Kombat fighting game that just wasn't called Mortal Kombat.
Right, yeah.
Kind of same
idea. It was just a little bit, yeah, it wasn't quite as hardcore as Twisted Metal, but it was basically, you know, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't, I remember it not being great. I think a friend had it. Maybe Andrew had it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It just didn't have everything together.
No.
You know, right? It looks like they must use the same engine, I'm assuming, because it looks like, you know, it looks like a Twisted Metal 2.
Yep, that is absolutely correct. All right, well, there you go. That's our look at all things Twisted Metal. I would highly recommend playing it, even the old stuff. Give it a chance. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite series of all time.
Yeah.
And you can go not too wrong by doing that. All right, we're going to play Guess My Game.
Destroy it.
It's time to play Guess Our Game. That's right. I'm going to play some audio from a game, and Brian's going to have to try to guess what it is. I'll do the same to him.
Okay. What?
I know. Weird. I'm going to start with this, and I'll tell you our two hints. You can ask 3 questions, though. It is a Super Nintendo game, and it came out in 1991.
All right. Super Nintendo
mm-hmm.
in the 19 of 91.
Here it is. That is such to me this sound is such a giveaway right here.
It definitely sounds like a car game. So is it a car game? I get my first question. Is it a car game?
Yes. You are correct. Here, you'll get this sound when you
What year was it again?
The year was 91. 91.
91.
Whoops. Here, I'll give you a little more of this.
It sounds like toy cars, though. Is it some kind of toy car?
Oh, look at you with the toy car. Huh. I wonder if it's a toy car. I'm going to say yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
NES Super is a toy NES. Car. I guess I probably should have just asked that the first time around. I should have just said instead of car, then toy car. So I really kind of screwed myself up there, huh?
Well, it's definitely toy car. But you're right about both questions. But yes, you could have done that in one question, I guess.
All right. So I guess the third question is this one of your all-time favorite games that you never shut up about?
It's one of my favorite game series, but I probably shut up plenty about it. So I don't talk about it all the time, but I do really like
right.
it. And the PlayStation version of the game was also a favorite. I love that game.
Okay. Is it Micro Machines?
Oh, my Lord. You got it right. Oh, is that the thing? Yeah. You did it, Brian. Yeah, You did it.
I don't think we've talked about doing an episode of that. We definitely need to do, because I loved it too. We definitely need to do an episode on Micro Machines.
Yeah.
It is a no-brainer.
Huge fan of the Micro Machines series, for sure. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. Please tell me my initial hints here. What are we talking about?
So the year is 1983, and we are at the arcade.
Ooh. All right, here we go. Oh.
You may, if you know it, you'll know it right away. If you don't know it, it'll frustrate you.
Oh my gosh, I know this. Why?
Yep. It's burned into your head, but you haven't thought about the name in probably 20 years.
What year was it again, did you say?
1983.
Holy shit, that is so familiar.
You're going to kick yourself when you remember all of a sudden. It's going to just flood to you.
Okay, first question.
Got questions?
Is it Beer Tapper?
No, but I can see why you might think that.
Okay, is it Popeye?
No, but that's also a good, that's okay. A good guess.
I got one more guess.
Got one more.
Whoops. Oh, shit! This is going to bug me so bad. I've had this game.
Oh, yeah. We've all had this game. We've played tons of it. And it's like, even while I was listening, I was like, what? Why don't I remember this? Oh, my God. Yes, of course, that's it. That's the music.
Is it a scrolling?
It's scrolling? Single screens.
Oh, well, there goes that idea. My last question before I give you my answer.
Do it.
Is it a Nintendo property?
Namco.
Namco. Is this Super Pac-Land?
Nope.
Or Pac-Man?
How about?
Land?
Nope.
I guess all my questions.
Nope.
What is
no
it?
No pack.
What is this?
Is the arcade game Mappy from 1983 by Namco. You all right?
Freaking Mappy, dude. I know this music.
I know. It's like, it's like, oh, God. Ugh. It's just it's burnt into your brain, the music is, but for some reason it's disconnected from the actual gameplay in my mind.
Yeah,
but
it's when people say here, where's the beef, you don't always remember it's Wendy's, but you just remember everything about where's the beef. It's like that because Mappy is so forgettable, but that music is impossible to take out of your head.
Music. Yep.
You bastard, you got me today.
You bastard.
Nicely done.
Welcome to the treasure room.
We got a text today I think you'll like. It's from Craig.
Oh, hi, Craig.
Or Craig. I don't know how he prefers
Craig.
It. Some people say Craig. Anyway, it says, morning, Scott and Brian. Two quick questions. Number one, Brian keeps talking about going to newspapers to set up their computers. Oh, this is TMS. This is wrong email.
So actually, it is and it isn't. It's a really weird crossover. I read the question.
Yeah.
The first part is an IBIT question.
It is.
The second part is an IBIT or Dunaway question.
It can go either way.
And
exactly.
Then the third part is a play retro question.
Yeah, it is. Okay, we're going to jump to question two. What 3D printer do you recommend to get a hobbyist or for a hobbyist that would be a step above beginner so they don't need to upgrade too soon later? So let's answer that first. What do you like? What do you have? Are you happy with it?
Okay, so the 3D printing question is, I have a couple of 3D printers. I have an FDM printer, which is like melting plastic onto a bed until it forms something, and it makes very good utilitarian like things that you would need to make. Like if you need something that's going to be strong like bull, then you need an FDM printer that uses this plastic stuff. I have an Ender 3 version 2, priced very reasonably. I think like around 150 or so. Okay. And you know, the filament's not too bad. Use like $20. You can make things for, you know, under a dollar lots of times, usually cents. Like I make a lot of these stands that I do for my retro consoles. I make those like for a dollar.
Yeah.
And so it's a no brainer. Now, if you like models, if you like printing little models, which is more what IBIT does a lot of times, he does a lot of that's more of a resin printer. And I have an Elegoo Mars 3. And I do resin print on it. It's big enough to print, you know, like somewhere between 5 to 6 inch figures, maybe. Mm. But all of those things are very fragile unless you add a lot of flexible type material to it. This kind of makes it more flexible, but you lose definition on it. But that was also very inexpensive. Okay. But there's more to it. I usually explain it. I ask the person, first of all, have you ever done any photo development work where you work with chemicals a lot? If their answer is yes, I go, then resin printer will probably be your home, because you got to do a lot of chemical stuff. You got to be careful. And it's like processing, you know, like film almost.
Yeah.
FDM printer, it's not like that at all. It's just, you know, it's just melting some plastic, and it just builds up stuff, but you're not going to get the detail that you would expect from like a model. If you want to do something big, like a pop vinyl kind of character, you might be able to do it with the FDM printer, but anything with details, you're going to lose it.
All right. Well, there you go.
Does that kind of answer the question? So in review, Ender 3 version 2 FDM printer, there's a lot more out there. And Elegoo Mars 3 for my resin printing, which is figures. And if you want to know where I got my information from, it was Brian Ibbett. So there you go.
Yeah, go bug Ibbett. He'll tell you. He also went on to ask us about TRS 80 games and the joysticks and peripherals for that stuff. I'd love to do that. That sounds great. I think
doing TRS 80 and microcomputers in general would be a lot of fun. Those early late 70s microcomputers. Yeah, I think that'd be a fun dive.
I agree. All that Tandy shit, all that stuff.
All that Tandy shit.
Let's do what we did at
Radio Shack. Put it on down to Radio Shack.
That's right.
Get us some diodes and a TRS-80.
And a single LED light. Woo-hoo! Craig, that's a great idea. We will definitely put that on the docket. Okay.
Yep.
Next week, we get back to the arcade and we talk about Frogger.
Yes.
Ribbit.
I suck at Frogger and I can't wait to play some Frogger.
Look, I love Frogger. But I probably suck at it too. But I could beat you in Frogger. I played a lot of Frogger back in the day.
I think everybody's good at the first level of Frogger.
Look, Frogger was like all quarter-based arcade machines. It was designed to take your freaking money, so it got harder really quick. And worth talking about though, because I think Frogger's got a big place in games history.
It even made it to the PlayStation.
Yeah,
even though it was in a different form. They've tried to keep that IP alive.
It was one of my favorite Seinfeld episodes, the one where they tried to move the Frogger machine without losing the high scores on it. So good.
Yes.
So anyway, we'll talk all about Frogger next week. Its origins, its destination, and everything in between. So tune in for that. But I do want to say this before we go. All right. Oh, as far as when that'll be. No, it'll still be next Wednesday. I get home from a trip, but I get home in time for this show. So don't worry. Nothing changes. Everything's happening next
so
week.
So I thought we might be starting a little bit later.
It'll be a little later, but it'll still be the same day. Yeah, stay tuned.
For Wednesday.
We'll let you know.
For Wednesday.
In the meantime, patreon.com/playretro is how you can help us out. Big shout out to Sutranu. I think is how you say it. Liquid Smoke 2517 and Wes. These three folks joined us since we last spoke, and we really appreciate their patronage. If you want to be like them, have your name shouted out and take advantage of the great benefits that are yours for the taking, go to patreon.com/TMS right now. TMS. Play Retro. patreon.com/playretro is what I meant to say.
Twisted Metal Show. That's what TMS stands for.
That's the one. Exactly. Anyway, go do that, please. Also, watch for some special stuff on the Twisted Metals coming from Dunaway. We're going to post that up on the Patreon coming up.
Yep. I'm about to fire up my PS2 and play that. Play the cutscenes that we missed from Twisted Metal 1.
Oh, that's awesome. Do that. We'll share it with you. You guys are going to love it. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com, PlayRetroShow on Twitter. Leave us voicemails and or texts at 801-471-0462. That is going to do it for us. Brian, anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, my name is Calypso.
Uh-huh.
And welcome to the Twisted Metal.
Holy shit. All right. You heard it here first, everybody.
Wish granted.
See you next week.
Psych.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Welcome to Twisted Metal.